Thank you, Reverend Ray. Number 55 in your hymnal, Glory Be to God on High. Just going to sing a couple of verses of that, the first, second, and then the last verse of that great hymn. Christ was born in Bethlehem, hallelujah. Son of God and Son of Man, hallelujah. He grew up an earthly child, hallelujah. Of the world but undefiled, hallelujah. Verse 5, we will live with him one day, hallelujah, and forever with him stay, hallelujah. Glory be to God on high, hallelujah. Glory be to God on high, hallelujah. God bless you. Amen. I know it's kind of rough to sing on a cold morning, but thank the Lord for that. Amen. We invite you to join us to Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 1, verses 21 and 22 for our scripture reading for today. Luke 1, verses 21 and 22. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. Our theme today, our sermon text for today, is focusing on what are we waiting for, and the blessing of waiting, as we shall see in just a few minutes. You may be seated as we go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come with thankful hearts. We come with receptive minds, eager to receive your word, to be blessed thereby, and God, to walk in the power of your word. Thank you for how you have spoken to those in the past and certainly through the scripture, God. We thank you for the lives of those that live by faith, who did not go by what they saw, but what they believed in you and what they believed that you would do through them. And we today, God, come in faith. We have your word to give us guidance and your Holy Spirit to give us the power to live and direct our lives. And as we come today, we come with that same spirit of expectancy. We believe God. But many times, Father, you don't do things instantly. You do things through process and through your promises. Help us to learn the virtues and the blessing of waiting upon the Lord, that we might indeed renew our strength. We pray this in the strong and awesome name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. What do you mean by waiting? And what do we get out of waiting? We'll find that this was one of the things that in the Bible, many of the people who had received a promise from God also had to wait upon God to make that promise come true or to fulfill what he had already said. So when we think about our lives, we've got to switch off from this mindset of everything being done instantly. We don't like to wait. When we turn on our computer, we want it to come up instantly. And if it doesn't, we go and get more space or another computer. When we stand in line, we don't like to wait, so we'll make reservations so that we don't have to wait. But when it comes to God, the Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. There's a blessing in waiting. There's this process that God sends us through that as we wait upon him, it doesn't weaken us. As a matter of fact, it strengthens us because the power that's generated is not our own. It is the very power of God. So the question today is not why do we wait, but what are we waiting for? Amen. No one wants to stand in line just to do so. And even as you think about waiting upon God, you're waiting for Him to fulfill something. I want to try, my attempt today is to try to look at the life of Zacharias, but then to put us up next to him. And certainly we want to compare where we are with where God wants us to be, but I believe that Zacharias could say and could bring a message to this generation today who's not accustomed to waiting. And may I first tell you that God is not going to change his way of dealing with people just because we, the impatient generation, have come along. He's not going to change his agenda. He will not change his plan. And he certainly will not change his promises. What are we waiting for? Luke introduces us to, first of all, a man by the name of Theophilus. We don't know who he was. Maybe he was some wealthy person. Certainly he was of noble character enough for Luke to address him as the most excellent or the honorable Theophilus. So certainly he had some position. But what he was trying to do is trying to share with this man, Theophilus, what it means to trust in the Savior. What it means to trust in God. Now think about this. Theophilus did not have Jesus there. So it wasn't a thing that Luke was introducing him and saying, well, see, Theophilus, here's Jesus right here. He had to, through the words that he had written, describe what it meant to trust in Jesus as the Savior. And it's the same thing today. As we attempt to preach or proclaim God's word, what we're doing is we're giving you a word picture of what it means to be walking with the Savior. And you've got to go along with it. In that process of learning, it takes time. You're not going to get there overnight. But through listening, through learning, through taking heed, you're able to find out, yeah, I can walk with God. I can discover what it means to fully trust in God. So our waiting is not in vain. Our waiting really is saying, I want God not just to show me who he is, but show me what he can do with my life. Show me how that I can grow in my faith to trust him and serve him more. Let me introduce you to Zacharias. And learn some lessons from him. And Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth, as we find out from the first chapter of Luke, they had been praying. Praying for what? They had been praying that God would give them a child. They started off when they were young, and they prayed that prayer. The answer did not come. So they kept on praying. They kept on believing because they knew that God was able. And the question today is, do we know that God is able? Even if he doesn't give us what we want, do we still have it settled in our mind, God is able. God is able. So we learned that first lesson today, that Zacharias and Elizabeth did not have the child at that time, but they kept praying. And here we find him in a place of worship. The Bible tells us that he was ministering after the course of Abijah. Now, that goes back to the Old Testament. King David had set up a order that the people would come in and they would serve. They would have a rotating basis, and there were 24 of these orders or 24 of these times they would come in and they would exercise. This month it would be this group, and then the next month it would be another group, or the next week it would be another group. And they had specific duties. All of the duties were by lot. Now get this, get this. Please get this. Isn't it kind of humorous the way God deals with us? He had been praying for a long time. And as it was, his lot, drawing lots, came that he would pray in the temple that he would be the one that would go behind this curtain where the holy place was and where the table of incense was. He would be that person that would go into that holy place and pray not only for himself, but for his nation. Now get this, he's been praying all of his life, but he'd never prayed there before. He'd never been in such a holy place before. Let me just suggest something to you, and it doesn't mean it's going to happen all the time, but there comes a time in your prayer life, if you stay focused, if you keep believing, if you keep trusting God, the Lord is going to bring you to a place where your prayer and God's answer lines up. But here's the point. The prayer is not just about you. See, we want the blessing, and rightly so. We want to be blessed. But what if God wants to give you not just enough blessings for you to enjoy? But maybe he wants to put something else on your plate that's going to be a blessing to someone else. You ever thought about that? And we think, well, Lord, bless me. Because we see our need, but you need to look beyond what you need and start seeing the needs around you.
Amen.
So the first thing he does, he keeps on performing or worshiping. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times if people don't get an answer to the answer to prayer, what do they do? I ain't gonna pray about it. God didn't make, he didn't hear my prayer. You ain't dead yet, though, are you?
Amen.
Maybe he didn't hear your prayer just then. But it doesn't mean that he's ignored you. And when the times come that you don't see God's hand, you can trust his heart.
Amen.
You can know that he's working things out, that God has a process. Here's the good news. If he hasn't said no, you're still good.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
So if you've been praying about something, you know it's a legitimate need in your life.
Amen.
God hasn't heard that prayer yet, but he hasn't said no. So that means you keep on praying. God never told Zacharias and Elizabeth, quit praying about that. He welcomed their prayer, as God would with any of his children. But now, your time is not God's time.
Amen.
Your ways are not God's ways. Think about him going into the temple. He does not have an attitude. As a matter of fact, if you went into the temple of God and you were just flipping about the way that you were carrying it out, God had a way of dealing with you. He was going into the holy place. There were a couple of guys in the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, they were the original sons of Aaron, the priests. And they didn't know how to respect God, so they came into that same place offering up some strange fire and got killed.
Amen.
Right on the spot. Because they didn't reverence God. This man had to go in with the right attitude. Even though his prayer had not been heard, his prayer had not been answered, and yet he kept praying. There's a high level of dedication there. If you compare where we are today, not only can we not wait, we're not very dedicated if we don't get what we want right then. And right there, our attitude changes and we just become bitter about life. But yet this old man kept praying.
Amen.
This old man kept praying. Now, granted, Zacharias was a man that he was just before God, but he was not sinless, as we're going to see. He was a good man. He was a godly man, but he was not a perfect man with regards to all of his faith. He just like you and just like me, he had flaws. And God is so gracious that he deals with us in our flaws.
Amen.
Why do we come to church? Why does a preacher come? He just come to preach this message and stand up and take a half hour or so of people's time. And then he'll sit down and you know, and we'll pay our tithes or give our gifts. And then we go back home. I'm tested just like you.
Amen.
I'm pushed to the limit just like you. But when I find out that I've reached my limit, I understand that it's now in God's hand.
Amen.
Let's continue to look at Zacharias. Let's look at some of the things in his life. He worshiped. But the second thing about it, he served. He's not serving himself. He's serving someone else. Has it ever occurred to you that while you're waiting, you might be able to help somebody else?
Amen.
While you're waiting on God to address your needs, you might be in a position to understand the needs of others. Because obviously, you're praying about something that you lack, that God has, and that you need from him. And if you look around you, you're going to see a world in need. I feel that one of the great sins of our leadership today is that they're only looking at what they want.
Amen.
And they can't see the needs of others. It should break your heart if you see homeless people. There should not be one homeless person in this nation. There should not be one hungry child in this nation, or as a matter of fact, in the world. God has enough for all of us. And somebody needs to give it up. It's like the man that came into the, he used to have this group that met the National Christian Businessmen's Association. And one group even called themselves the Spirit-Filled Christian Businessmen's Association. So this guy that came in without a job, and he said, "I don't have a job." He said, "You all can stop praying because somebody has the answer in this room. You're businessmen. Hire me. We've got the answers. We've got the answer, but what we're looking for is the John answer, right? Because that's what Elizabeth and that's what Zacharias are praying about, Miss Kapler. They're praying about a John. They don't know his name yet. They're praying for a child, and they don't know his name, but guess what? When God comes and actually comes to them and tells them, yeah, what you're praying about, his name is John. Isn't that something? God not only, listen to this, he not only knows what you need, he's already named it.
Amen.
People say, "Well, I'm going to name it and claim it." You can forget about you naming it. God has already named it.
Amen.
Which meant it was in his plan all along.
Amen.
So how do you deal with getting your John? Now, to prove to you that Zacharias was just a man, that he was weak, he had his flaws, he had his faults. So, you know, next time you look in the mirror, you're correcting stuff, just kind of say within yourself, "I know I got some stuff in me that God is not pleased with."
Amen.
And let me acknowledge that.
Amen.
You know what Zacharias did? Been praying all these years. Been asking God, "Lord, hear my prayer. Oh, God Almighty, you alone are God, and beside you there's none other. Hear my prayer." And then when the Lord says, "Okay, Gabriel, go down and tell this man that his prayer is heard." Mm-hmm. Here's what Zacharias says. Here's what he says. He doesn't say, "Thank you, God." Mm-hmm. He doesn't say, "You know, I'm just rejoicing." You know what he says? "How am I going to know this is true?" In other words, he's telling God, "You kidding me? I'm old now." And the humor of it is that Gabriel not only tells him shut up, but he shuts him up.
Yes. Yes.
Why would God do that? He does not want you to talk your own self out of your own blessing.
Amen.
I mean, here he's taking the time to name your blessing and say it's going to be called John. And how am I going to know this? Listen, this is God speaking to you.
Amen.
He's not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he should not keep his word. This is Almighty God.
Yes.
Now do an evaluation. Look at your own life.
Amen.
Find out what's lacking. Mm-hmm. Make a spiritual list in your mind. And if God has not said no, then your prayer is still good.
Amen.
Will that work for anybody?
Amen.
Haven't got it yet.
Amen.
But he hadn't said no. So my prayer is still good. So now how do we find this John out of this? This is what we want to get out of. This is what we're looking for. We're trying to get to the place where we can obtain that John, because John actually meant God's grace. You didn't earn it. It wasn't the fact that Zacharias, you've been praying all these years and you earned it. You know, I got this thing on this Fitbit, you know, I wear that every day, and they'll give you this little badge after you have walked so many steps, and it'll say, like, "You earned it." And so when you look at it, you go, "Woohoo!" You earned it.
Mm-hmm.
Not with God.
Amen.
Scratch that from your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Not with God.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be a John gift.
Mm-hmm.
Which means God's grace.
Amen. Amen.
You didn't earn it. Now, you were good. You were good. You played your part.
Mm-hmm.
It's like being in an orchestra. You did your part.
Yes.
But now, wait a minute. God's saying, this has got to come by grace.
Mm-hmm.
Or otherwise, you'll get back and you'll say, "It's about time."
Mm-hmm.
I earned it. No. You did not earn it.
No.
God gave it to you.
No.
God gave it to you. We'll deal with that a little bit further. A couple of quick things as we close. Number one, the waiting place. There's a place where you wait.
Mm-hmm.
God had given the children of Israel the temple. Now, at this point in their history, they didn't have a whole lot. They were under Roman occupation, okay? They didn't have a whole lot. And they, in other words, they were in bondage in their own land. Now think about it. Here you are making payments on your house, or you bought your house and you're sitting back. All of a sudden, somebody comes in and they're telling you, I'm going to confiscate your property. What do you mean you want to confiscate my property? You know, I'm sorry. I just insinuated something that I probably should not have. Everybody's in this gun thing now, so anyway. You don't want people owning what you have paid for.
Amen.
And yet the people of Israel were in a place in their nation that they didn't own the land that they were living on. They'd work for it. They were actually now continuing to work the fields. But they were in bondage in their own land. Isn't that something? But they still had a temple. And God had given them a promise a long time ago, that even if you're in bondage in your own land, if my people, are you listening?
Amen.
Which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray.
Amen.
And seek my face. Oh. And turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and heal their land.
Amen.
They were in the right place, even though it was in bondage. And the temple was still there, so they could still go behind that curtain, which that's what Zacharias was doing. He was going behind the curtain.
Amen.
To represent not only himself, but the needs of his nation.
Amen.
It may not have fully dawned on him, this is what I'm doing, but that's actually where he was. And that's when the angel Gabriel flew in and said, here it is. Here it is. It's time. It's time. But now, here's the humor of this. Here's the humor of this. Zacharias did not walk out from behind the curtain with a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Some of y'all missed it.
Mm-hmm.
John had to come through a process.
Amen.
Grace has to reveal itself through a process. You've got some things that you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
I've got some things that I need to do if this is going to be reality. The nation had to do some things in their own life. What? Repent. Humble yourself. As a matter of fact, the message that John preached was this: repent.
Amen.
For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. See, the John thing is not just, well, here's your gift, and we go, woohoo, great, this is wonderful. Like kids on Christmas. You spend a couple $100 to give these, you know, rugrats. I shouldn't say that, I'm sorry. Second fault. Okay. But you spend all of this money to give them toys, and they play with it for an hour.
Amen.
And they get bored, and they put it over in the corner.
Yes.
And they don't even touch it. They don't even think about it until some other kid comes over.
Amen.
And wants to play with it. And the first thing out of their mouth,
man,
don't you just love it? But that's the state that we're in. We're spoiled kids. Didn't know what to do with the gift. And before we cry mine, God says, wait a minute, I got a purpose that's higher than that. I'm going to send something. I'm going to send you a Savior. And notice a couple of other things. I want to also notice the wait time, the wait time. Everybody say the wait time.
Wait.
I got to move right along, but I don't have time to wait, okay? But here's the whole point to this. As they were in bondage, guess who was king in Israel? Does the name Herod ring a bell? But the unique thing about Herod that I learned, he was not a Jew. He had been appointed by the Romans. So you got a king because you wanted a king, but the king is not among your people, so he does not know your customs. Anybody listening? The king does not understand what it means to be a child of God. You know, here we are. We're saying, well, we want leaders in our nation, and we want them to do this, this, and that. And we're surprised but they're not like us.
Amen.
Hello? Anybody need to send you a wake-up call? You got one leader, and that's God.
Amen.
He raises up kings as he chooses. He puts them down as he chooses. And what God wanted the nation of Israel to realize, yeah, I know the one that's appointed is not your king, but I'm sending my king. Y'all missed it. You missed it. And here's the reason why. You will get just as content. Yay, we got Barack Obama. And like, he's going to stay there forever. Anybody listening? And what God is trying to show you, yeah, he's good. He's good. But he's not the one. Lord have mercy. I've stepped into something here. So, yes. So you got to get used to this thing called wait time. The Bible doesn't say wait on a earthly leader. It talks about waiting upon the Lord.
Amen.
Y'all still with me?
Yes.
I've messed up y'all. I am so sorry. That makes third time I messed y'all up today. Gun control. Yeah. Rugrats, yeah, I know. And now, leaders. What my whole point is this. Of everything that you need in your life, you need God's grace.
Amen.
Your wait time is not about some earthly thing to be fulfilled. Your wait time is actually about God's grace revealed in your life. You can have everything else in this world and miss God's grace and miss it all. And if you would make yourself content with seeking the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he may be near, you could live through any time. I think about the people that grew up during a time of depression. My mother was one of the strongest people I know. I mean, she was my hero. Why? Because she grew up in a time where they had to make do. Yeah, I mean, true. My grandmother made bathtub gin. Well, they didn't call it that. They called it homebrew. Over in Charlotte County, but she fed her family. No, I wasn't right. Neither is some of the stuff you do. But isn't God grace is wonderful, isn't it?
Amen.
All right, let me move on. John's life had already been planned for him. So it wasn't a thing of them saying his parents, well, here's what he's going to do. No, God said, wait a minute, he's going to be like this Nazarite, but then he's going to be great. He'll have the power of the Spirit from his birth. John has a purpose, and I'm going to give him the spirit of wisdom and the power of the Spirit so that when he speaks, he will draw the fathers to the children. What's happening in our nation? What's happening? A lot of children don't have fathers.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And God said, when I send revival, when I move, I'm going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. God didn't say anything about removing the Romans. Because this thing has got to be a heart issue.
Amen.
This thing has got to start from the inside before God works things out on the outside. We want him to remove the stuff on the outside. Oh, God, get this barrier out of my life. Get this thing out of my way. And then what? So you can flop based on your character? It doesn't work that way. God says, I'm going to deal with the wickedness that's on the inside. And ladies and gentlemen, as good as you thought you looked when you said goodbye to your mirror this morning, you still had some issues.
Amen.
On the inside. Don't make your mirror lie. Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest? You still need God's grace. So you come to church and then you get in another mirror. God shows you
Amen. That
you need grace. I'm about to close. A couple of things that we want to deal with before we close. One is that Psalm 27, verse 14. In waiting, there's strength. In waiting, there's strength. Think of the picture of a waiting room. And the doctor has put some magazines out there for you. He's got this stuff playing in the background. We call it Muzak. You know, it's crummy. You hate it. It's probably got a lot of violins. I like violins, but anyway, it's playing in the background. So you thumb through all the magazines, Sports Illustrated, and you thumb through that, and you got all your Reader's Digest, and you kind of thumb through that. You read that two times, and they still haven't called your name.
Uh-huh.
And you're pacing up and down the floor. You're just kind of saying, okay, all right, it's going to come. The point of the wait is for you to see the doctor. And we rarely think about it. He's not back there just playing solitaire. Well, he might be, you know. But he's usually helping somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Wait your turn.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try to bump the line on somebody. While you're waiting your turn, look around the waiting room. See, there are other sick people, not just you.
Amen.
Wait your turn. Look what it says. Wait on the Lord. Be of good, what?
Courage.
And he shall strengthen your heart. And then he repeats it. Wait, I say. Sound like a parent, doesn't it? Wait, what'd I tell you? Wait. And what is he saying? In your waiting, sometimes will be your healing.
Amen.
You may not have to go with the doctor behind. Have you ever been in a doctor's office and you felt better and you wanted to walk out? Man, I waited so long, I feel better already. But when he does take you back, you go to that examination room. He tells you what's wrong. And you don't walk out necessarily with all of the physical manifestations of the blessing. But you got enough sense to know that you got a prescription. And electronically, they've already submitted it to the drugstore. So now it's your responsibility to go to the drugstore and pick it up.
Amen.
And then it's your responsibility, after you've gotten the medication, what else do you do?
Take it.
And they'll tell you, make sure you take it and use it all.
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
What do? We get to feel a little bit better. And that's why we find ourselves still spiritually sick.
Yes.
We haven't taken all of the medication. We haven't learned the blessing of waiting. But when you do, you're going to enjoy God's strength. Give the Lord a hand for that. Amen. Father, thank you so much for your love and your grace. You've spoken to our hearts today. And Lord, I don't know about anybody else, but you preached to me. I've studied the message. I've done the manuscript. And yet you gave me something that I had not learned. And I take it to heart. Be our strength and shield.
Amen.
Give us your grace that we might walk in it and enjoy your goodness. Change every heart in this room. Renew every mind that we might give you our best service as Zacharias did. We love you and we praise you. We honor your name. In Jesus' name we pray. And all the believers said, amen. Going to extend the invitation of